my fellow Americans.
The Jeff and Mike Show.
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
Jeff Lynch.
Listen, hotshot, I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't care for you or for the putrid sludge you're troweling out.
Mike Howard.
Trust me, I know what I'm doing.
The Jeff and Mike Show.
The Jeff and Mike Show.
The voice of the new media.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Oh, yeah. It is the Jeff and Mike Show. Jeff Lynch, Mike Howard with you as we are each and every Sunday evening from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Lock it in, sock it in, tell all your friends you found something truly independent, truly unique in the world of talk radio. We've been at this now into our 13th year, folks. If you're new, well, welcome along. So much to talk about tonight. We have things going down politically. Debate this weekend. We have the caucus that happened this past week. We have a primary in New Hampshire coming up this week. Next segment, we are going to talk about Ron Paul in depth as we discuss who Ron Paul really is. Who is he? Other candidates have been scrutinized in this primary, in this presidential run, but how about Ron Paul? Who is he? What does he believe? Where does he come from? Who is he connected to? So you want to stay tuned to that. Well, we had the caucus, Mike, in Iowa, and it was a nail-biter. I believe CNN was on the air till like 3 o'clock in the morning, till they could actually declare a winner by 8 votes, Mitt Romney, over Rick Santorum, who spent a lot of shoe leather walking all over that little state with a very small population, which he could do that. Now, in California, could he do that, hop in the car and drive to this town? That didn't know. So his tactics, low-budget tactics, succeeded. He almost won. Romney spent millions of dollars. He had his political PACs, which he said has nothing to do with me. I can't tell them not to spend millions and millions and millions of dollars on attack ads on Newt Gingrich.
I have no control over it.
I have no connection to it. These are people who just like me and decided to run these ads against my opponents. The fact is, folks, those political PACs that raised all that money, a lot of it, Mike, come from Mr. Marriott, owner of the Marriott Hotels, who is a big-time, super-rich Mormon, throwing millions of dollars into these super PACs to make sure his Mormon brethren makes it to the White House. Mm-hmm. And the super PACs run by Romney campaign aides, who, yes, officially left the campaign. But why? Because they don't like Mitt anymore? Because they could run off and run these PACs for him, and he could say, I had nothing to do with it. My campaign had nothing to do with it.
It's like lobbying.
Of course, Gingrich didn't have the money to fire back with other ads replying to these attacks. He didn't have the money. So he was knocked out. And why did he do this? Because he saw the only guy who was truly a threat to him was Gingrich.
Yeah.
Former Speaker of the House, speaks well, debates well. And as we saw last month, rose to the top of the crop, the flavor of the week. But after millions of dollars of destructive attack ads, he fell and fell badly in Iowa. And he has fallen now in the polls in all the other states as well.
Well, Gingrich hasn't been doing himself any favors as of late, especially with some of the comments that he made this past week.
Yes, he has a loose cannon.
Yeah. And, we were talking about this, about, you know, well, is this the Illuminati's guy? Is it Gingrich? Are they, you know, priming him to be the guy? Or is it Romney?
I think it's always
all signs,
been, yeah.
I, all the signs are pointing right now, Mitt Romney.
I think it's always been Romney. I said that early on. We had a guest on saying Gingrich was the Illuminati's pick. These globalists, these super wealthy globalists who pick our leaders, folks, whether we like it or not, including Obama. Where did Obama come from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Came out of the blue.
Yep.
He was backed by very powerful people. He is a Freemason. He's super connected, even though he was little-known senator, first-time senator from Illinois. Gingrich, super connected. I think they have been trotting out each and every candidate because people, it's shown that a lot of people aren't comfortable with Romney for some reason. Comes off very stiff, comes off very mechanical,
yeah.
Comes off very erudite. Very much a super rich elitist type of guy that a lot of people don't relate to.
Well, exactly. That means he's out of touch with modern America.
He's out of touch with mainstream, even with his religion, with Mormonism, which is way out there, folks, believing that there are thousands of gods and Mormon men become gods of their own planet when they die and, you know, strange stuff. So he is very much out of the mainstream in every way, if you look at him. But he doesn't want you to look at, just look at me as a businessman who could straighten out the financial mess of this country.
Well,
that's how
the
he
problem.
Wants.
You don't want a businessman running the United States of America.
It's not a business.
It's
well, it should be run as a business. It can't be run as a business.
It can't be.
Unless you're going to make him dictator. Unless you're going to say you're not president, you're CEO, and everybody, including Congress, is your subordinates, and you could order them to do whatever you want. That's how it is in the business, right? I'm the big boss. You do what I say or you're fired. You know?
I'm the boss. I'm in charge.
Like
a
Donald Trump. You're fired. He can't fire Congress, can he?
No.
And we see the current president proving that. He's having his trouble with Congress. He'd love to fire them all, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least the Republicans. And he can't. So it's a whole different model than the business world. So it's nonsense. A businessman will straighten it out. No. Maybe he'll be very incompetent because he won't know how to deal with it. But he has been governor. He has been in politics before. So I guess you could say he knows the difference. He has been governor, Massachusetts. And he did play ball with the Democrats. You know, that's a very liberal state. And he did play a liberal politician when he was up in Massachusetts. And that's the rub with the conservatives. They know his background is very liberal. He's the kind of guy who will say anything to anybody and do anything to anybody to get ahead. And that is very much like the business world, isn't it?
Exactly.
Kiss somebody's butt when it's necessary and then turn around and stab them in the back when it's necessary. You'll do whatever it takes and tell anybody anything you want to climb the ladder in corporate America. Which means you have no morals, you have no ethics, anything goes as long as you get what you want to get. But they have trotted out each and every anybody but Romney candidate, and then they shot him down in order to say, see, Republicans, you may not really like him, you may not really trust that he's a true conservative, but he's the last man standing. All the other guys have been deflated. They had their shot in the limelight, and then they sunk. He's the only guy who could beat the black guy. You don't like the black guy in the White House, remember? And he's the only viable candidate. Newt Gingrich got really pissed off, though, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because he realized this was a hit on him to be taken out. And he did take him out. Remember the statement? Newt says, I'm going to be the nominee. I always knew I was going to be the nominee, and I will be the nominee. And all of a sudden, he sunk. he was on CBS, and he was asked about this, and he calls Mitt Romney a liar.
Mr. Speaker, you were riding, though, atop of the polls, and after millions of dollars were spent on your record, you've kind of had a spectacular crash in the polls. And I want to ask you, because just the other day on the campaign trail, you talked about that. You scolded Mitt Romney, his friends who are running this super PAC that has funded that, and you said of Mitt Romney, somebody who will lie to you to get to be president will lie to you when they are president. I have to ask you, are you calling Mitt Romney a liar?
Yes.
You're calling Stormy a liar.
Well, you seem shocked by it. Yes. I mean, what
else
could
you say? Why are you saying he's a liar?
Because this is a man whose staff created the PAC. His millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth. It's just like his pretense that he's a conservative. Here's a Massachusetts moderate who has tax-paid abortions in Romney Care, puts Planned Parenthood in Romney Care, raises hundreds of millions of dollars of taxes on businesses, appoints liberal judges to appease Democrats, and wants the rest of us to believe somehow he's magically a conservative. I just think he ought to be honest with the American people and try to win as the real Mitt Romney, not try to invent a poll-driven, consultant-guided version that goes around with talking points. And I think he ought to be candid. I don't think he's being candid. And that'll be a major issue. I mean, from here on out for the rest of this campaign, the country gets to decide. Do you really want a Massachusetts moderate who won't level with you to run against Barack Obama, who, frankly, will just tear him apart? I mean, he will not survive against the Obama machine.
Okay, but Mitt has been around long enough to know this is how the game is played.
Mm-hmm. He also went on to say, Gingrich did, that, oh, if Romney got into a debate with Obama, Obama would laugh at it.
Yeah, he said he'll level him, yeah, which I don't necessarily believe, because even though Obama's a superb speaker, when he is speaking by himself in front of a podium to a crowd, or with a mic in hand, walking around without a tie, he's fabulous. Now, in a debate, because he is a very careful politician, he is careful about what he says, he hems and haws a lot. Yeah. If you remember debates, he wasn't that slick, because he won't just... Gingrich is a very good debater, and he knows how to spit stuff out, but then he says stuff like that, just off the cuff, and gets him in trouble. Barack Obama is a far more cautious politician, but
he's
that doesn't make very measured.
What he says.
But it doesn't make a very slick debater.
No.
And Romney's the same way: very measured, very cautious, very careful what he says, thinks about every single word that's coming out of his mouth. Where Gingrich just lets it fly. I'm not saying Gingrich's not an intelligent man; he is, but he just lets it fly, as he did there. Yeah, I'm saying he's a liar, you know. Which is kind of, he's a fun candidate as far as that goes. You kind of wish he got the nomination, because it'd be fun, you know, because he's going to say some wild stuff. But no, I don't think Obama will make mincemeat out of Romney in debates. I think it'll be pretty even in the debates, because they're both measured political animals. So there you go. Speaking of debates, there are two debates before the primary in New Hampshire, where they eat Pepperidge Farm, Mike.
Pepperidge Farm.
Pepperidge Farm. Good for eating. Park the
Not
car.
Not for debating.
Park the car in the yard.
Either way, New England gets a spotlight, because that's about the only time outside of the Patriots anybody really wants to talk about in the New England area.
Yeah.
It's your chance to have relevance in the nation, New Hampshire.
Well, it's another small state, just like Iowa. And let's face it, if you did the big states first and things were pretty much settled and other candidates were wiped out,
there wouldn't be any need.
No, nobody would pay attention to, by the time it got around to Iowa or New Hampshire, they'd say, who cares?
They'd be looking at it like, damn, so much for our chance.
So if they're going to have any importance, it's got to be early on. You can't do South Carolina and Florida and, say, Texas and California, because it's over by then. You know, it'd be like, who cares what they decide in those states? So in a way, it's allowing them to have relevance.
You know who appeared in New Hampshire? RuPaul.
Rude Paul, not Ron Paul?
No, RuPaul.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Ron Paul was there too, but no. RuPaul, the
black guy who dressed up like a lady.
Yeah, yeah.
Cross-dresser.
Wants to make sure you get the vote out.
What does he care? What's his agenda, as I mean? Newt Gingrich got in trouble opening his mouth, as you alluded to earlier, Mike. Gingrich said to black people, paychecks, not food aid. Now, that sounds bad as a headline, doesn't it?
That's a stereotype. That's blatant stereotype. Yeah, all black people, you know, they're all on the government dole. That's right.
Gingrich has routinely lambasted Obama as the best food stamp president in America history. Maybe there's a reason for that, Mr. Gingrich, because the economy sucks. And because a lot of people lost their homes, their jobs, their income, and they lost unemployment, and they need it to survive. We don't let our people go starving in the streets like many other nations. But he did say he was speaking before black people, the NAACP, and urged blacks to demand paychecks, not food stamps. So basically saying you want to work, you should demand a job. But you can't just go into a company and demand a job. You can't go to the White House. Yeah, you can't go to the White House steps and say, hey, Obama, give me a job. Remember who fired you. Remember who let you go. Was it President Obama? No, it was your employer. It was the CEOs. It was the corporate guys who said cut. And you got cut. And is it President Obama or Congress who is not hiring you or giving you a job? No. It's the corporate world. It's the business. It's the free market that everybody praises, right? They're the ones who cut you. They're the ones who aren't hiring you back. I know everybody likes to point their finger to the White House or even the Congress, but they're not the ones who hire and fire. Well, it's their policies. No, it isn't. It's individual companies decide, do we stick with our employees who have been so faithful or do we cut them loose? Even when times get hard. People have to come to realize that. Are the politicians honest? No.
No.
Are they good? No. Well, it's all about free market. Free market industry, that's it. They're the ones who are going to... No, they're the ones who are firing. They're not the ones who are hiring. It's their fault. Well, the economy's horrible. Is that your fault? Think about it, folks. Think about it. And I know people will say, well, if the economy doesn't get better, jobs don't improve, forget it. Everybody's going to blame Obama. And, yep. You know, there's the old Harry Truman statement, the buck stops here. But isn't that letting big business in America off the hook? They can sit back and collect all the profits while leaving you unemployed. Making their skeleton crew that they keep do twice the work for the same pay and sit back and laugh and light their cigarette, their big cigars with $100 bills. Obama's taking the blame. And if Romney gets in, will he be the one who will be hiring you and giving you a job? No, he won't. He cannot. Except for his cabinet, right? The people he surrounds him. But it'll be business once again. There was a debate this weekend. There will be another debate before Tuesday when they go to the polls in New Hampshire. Mitt Romney, front runner.
Together, a plan to show Iran that we have the capacity to remove them militarily from their plans to have nuclear weaponry. Look, this is a failed presidency, and the issue in dealing with the responsibility of commander-in-chief is the issue of saying who has the capacity to lead. Who is someone who's demonstrated leadership capacity, who has character, shown that character over their career, who has integrity, and I hope, I mean, each of these people, I don't want to be critical of the people on the stage. Any one of these people would do a better job in many respects than our president. And I will endorse our nominee. I believe in the principles that made America such a great nation. This is a time when we're faced not with a nation that is extraordinarily secure in a very, very calm world. We're facing a very dangerous world. And we have a president now who unbelievably has decided to shrink the size of the military, who unbelievably has said for the first time since FDR, we're going to no longer have the capacity to fight two wars at a time. This president must be replaced.
I want to bring in Josh now.
Yeah, I want to stay on the topic of commander-in-chief as well. Obviously, that puts you in charge of the most powerful armed forces in the world. Only two of you on stage have served in the military. Dr. Paul was a flight surgeon, Governor Perry a pilot. There are 25 million veterans in this country, 3 million currently serving active duty. So this question is very relevant to a large number of voters out there. And the question goes to you, Governor Perry. Do you believe having worn a uniform, been part of a unit, better prepares you for the job of commander-in-chief than those on the stage who haven't served?
No, I think it brings a very clear knowledge about what it requires. for those that are on the front lines. But also, having been the governor of the state of Texas and been the commander-in-chief for 11 years there and 20,000-plus troops that we've deployed to multiple theaters of operation. But I want to go back to this issue that we just brought up earlier when we talked about one of the biggest problems facing this country. And Iran's a big problem, Senator, without a doubt. But let me tell you, what this president is doing with our military budget is going to put our country's freedom in jeopardy. You cannot cut $1 trillion from the Department of Defense budget and expect that America's freedoms are not going to be jeopardized. That, to me, is the biggest problem that America faces, is a president that doesn't understand the military and a president who is allowing the reduction of the DOD budget so that he can spend money in other places, and it will put America's freedom in jeopardy.
This is one of the scariest thing about this crowd. War, 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 more spending in military, more war. Yeah, cut the military budget so you can spend it in other places. Like on the American people, like on the taxpayers. It's our money. Isn't it our money? Shouldn't it be spent on the people? Economy is sinking. You want to spend more overseas, killing people over there? They all beat this drum, except for Ron Paul. Of course,
yeah,
he's the only one who, at least, anti-war. Yeah. But, you know, if he ever did get in the Oval Office, you think he would actually stop the wars and
no,
cut?
No.
No, they wouldn't allow him.
Obama was the guy during his campaign saying, oh, well, you know, we're going to get the troops home. We're going to bring them home. Mm-hmm. We're going to finish these wars.
Mr. Peacenik.
Done with. Mr. Peacenik. What was one of the first things he did after he got into office?
He increased the troops.
Sent 37,000 troops over to the Middle East.
Yep.
So he increased troops.
Yes,
and then on top of that, I mean, it was one thing when we were in Afghanistan and Iraq, and then we were having problems with Syria or whatever, you know, just prior to Bush leaving office. And now all of a sudden, oh, well, we got to worry about Iran. We got to worry about, you know, Saudi Arabia or God knows who else. We're sticking our fingers in too many pies. Then we got to worry about North Korea. Then China, you know, everybody's doing exercises. In the Gulf, and it's like, really, is this what we're doing now?
By the way, Perry, who was a pilot, Mike, wouldn't want to be in the plane while he was flying it.
Did he serve with McCain?
But I could crash my plane before you, my friend.
Yeah. Knowing Perry, he would have done it with more flair.
Obama,
like,
yes.
Like the guy riding the bomb in Doctor Strange. Yeah.
Obama did say this week that he will cut the budget for military, but like over 10 years, $1 trillion.
Yeah, you're not really going to notice.
Perry makes it sound like he's doing it tomorrow, but this is over 10 years.
It's a slow withdrawal. It's a slow, you know.
And, of course, this is subject to change.
Basically, they're saying, oh, well, we're going to do this. Yeah, of course, it's always subject to change. But here we are, Jeff. He's going to say, yes, well, we're going to do troop withdrawal and everything like that. Well, yeah, he took the soldiers out of Iraq, but where are they? Kuwait. They're not far away.
Kuwait, some in Israel now. We sent troops down to Israel.
But they're not far away.
No.
That's the point.
No. A handful he brought home so he could do a photo op with them and say, welcome home. Once again, welcome home. Listen, this is a warmongering crowd there on the stage at the Republican debate.
I don't know too many conservatives, maybe outside of Lincoln, because Lincoln was a Republican, that, you know, really wanted to go to war. Lincoln didn't want war. He was stuck with it. He couldn't avoid it.
He couldn't avoid it to keep the country together.
Yeah, but these are conservatives by nature, and this is not a knock on you, Jeff, for having been a conservative, and this is unfortunately how the people are brainwashed. War, 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 war. They mistakenly and erroneously thump the Bible and use it as the prop to say, you know, God is on our side. God wants us to free these people, you know. We use that, which is incredibly wrong.
You know how he wants
to go out and do the very thing God does not want you to do.
That's
because
right.
It is a cardinal sin. Thou shalt not kill. It's a commandment.
You could defend yourself, but...
It's one thing to defend yourself, yeah. But what we're doing is not defending ourselves. Well, we're defending democracy. Democracy is in no way, shape, or form in danger from Muslim, quote-unquote Muslim terrorists. It's in danger from Washington, D.C., stripping away your rights so you feel, quote-unquote, safer. They're taking away your civil rights. They're taking away your civil liberties because they want to control you. Fear is the greatest control that anybody can have over somebody else.
If you're scared
enough, they got you by the balls and there isn't a damn thing you can do about it because they will find new ways to scare you. And that's what's happened in this country. We've got a warmongering nation and we invent excuses to go to war with other countries like Iran, like Iraq, like Afghanistan. You know, we use 9/11 as an excuse. And then it's like, well, you know, terrorism, you know, terrorist, you know, cells, they're all over the place.
They're trying to sell the next big danger is Iran, this dinky country, basically.
I mean, didn't we have the same bullshit ideology in the 80s, Jeff, with the whole Cold War thing?
Well, the Cold War.
Kind of at its zenith. We were facing thermonuclear war, not with Iran. We were too busy selling them arms during their war, 8-year war with Iraq. No, we were facing the much bigger, quote-unquote, enemy, Russia.
Well, they were. That's a real danger. Russia could take us out.
Yeah.
They could take the whole nation out.
But, I mean, that's what we were facing back in the 80s.
Yeah, a real danger.
They had the weapons. They had them.
It wasn't made-up danger. It was a real danger.
Yeah.
But instead of trying to make nice knives, we're always rattling the sword. And this is the knock on Santorum. Say, well, what's wrong with Santorum? You know, he says he's a Christian. He's not a Mormon. And he's very conservative, nice family man. He has a lot of kids and same wife as well. If you listen to him, he is hysterical over the Muslim so-called threat. He wants to be at war continuously. He would have never pulled out of Iraq. He wants to be in total control of these people. He wants to destroy these people. And this is wrong. And if he claims to be a good Catholic Christian, then he would understand this is wrong. You know how we change things? You know how we bring them peace and freedom? Try telling them Jesus loves you. Not here's a gun, here's a bomb, we're dropping it on you. It's such hypocrisy, folks. And these are really dangerous people who are going to lead us into the Third World War. I'm not saying Obama won't, because Obama hasn't proven that he is that peacenik. He's that man of peace. He's shown he's the man of war. Even though he is now withdrawn us from Iraq. And now, of course, they're fighting in Iraq. And people go, see, he was wrong. John McCain, see, my friend, he pulled out too soon. That's what Cindy always tells me. John, you pulled out too soon.
For her, that should be a relief.
These are warmongering people. And there has to be a voice of sanity. And that's going to come from me and you folks. It's not going to come from these people, our so-called leaders. Obviously, they're all beating their chest. Oh, I'm going to be tougher on Iran and everybody else than the other guy. I got an itchy finger ready to push the button. Very dangerous. Nobody with a level head here.
No. And that's the problem with our world. That is the problem with this country. No level head. Your ideologies, your religions, money, your social status, you know, our status in the world as a world power, that is more important to us. The arrogant attitude that we are better than everybody else, that is what we care about more instead of common sense and building for a better tomorrow for our kids and grandkids and so forth.
All right. Well, next, we're going to have a guest on, and we're going to take a look at level head. Is that Ron Paul? He talks different. He looks different. You know, one thing about Ron Paul, can't they get him a decent suit to wear? Wear these ill-fitting suits. You know,
he goes to the men's warehouse, Jeff. You're going to like the
No, he would look slick if he did. I think he shops at Kmart or something.
Is he getting the Kathy Lee line? No wonder that place is closing up shop. Ron, come on. You got to slick it up, buddy. You got to get pimped.
But we're going to take
my politician.
a close look at Ron Paul and what he really believes.
Yes,
stay tuned.
Stick around.
The hardest working personalities in radio.
If you don't like your job, you don't strike. You just go in every day and do it really half-assed. That's the American way.
Jeff and Mike, the Homeland Radio Show.
TheJeffAndMikeShow.com.
Hi, I'm Jesse Ventura, and I say don't start the revolution without me, because I'm going fishing first. And you're listening to Jeff and Mike, two guys who are on the case.
It is the Jeff and Mike Show. Jeff Lynch, Mike Howard with you, saying reality is needing more company. Welcome, folks. We are here every Sunday evening from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's Pacific time. We're out here in San Diego. Welcome. So much going on. So many things people need to wake up to. Yeah, the walls are coming down, aren't they?
They're coming down hard and fast, Jeff.
Yeah, everybody's looking for a little hope. They're looking for the next savior in politics.
Yep.
As they look at the candidates and they peruse and they get their chance to go to their primary and choose. But are we having false hope? Are we placing our trust in the wrong people? Is there any political answer?
Do you really want me to answer that?
Well, rhetorical questions, but there are candidates out there, and some, you know, pretty obvious. And as we've gone through this primary season, we've seen their dirty laundry aired out, and people, oh, okay, all right, that's what he's all about. And some have been dismissed, and some fight on, and some try to convince you they're the true blue, the real deal. And a lot of people who want somebody who isn't typical, who isn't an insider, have turned their eyes to a guy who in many ways goes against the grain and swims upstream and has talked against the establishment, has talked against the Federal Reserve, and even things we on this program have agreed with. He's talked against the wars. And you know, they've found that Ron Paul maybe is the guy who could go against the system. But has he been vetted? Has he had his background really looked into? He's been scrutinized for a newsletter. We've talked about this. Everybody in talk radio has talked about this. He had a newsletter under his own name, and there have been some things written by other people in that newsletter that
of
were
racial,
well,
quality.
Considered to be maybe racist or a little, you know, on the questionable side. And that seems to have gone away. And you say, well, if that's the most dirt they could dig up on him, well, maybe he is pretty clean. We're going to dig a little deeper tonight into Ron Paul and his background and who he actually is and what he actually believes, what he actually supports. On the line, we have a guest, Barbara Ahill, who has done the research into his background. some things that I have suspected about Ron Paul, but have never been able to come to a decisive feeling about. But she has, and her website, watchuntoprayer.org, has this information in it. So we invited her on the program. Welcome, Barbara.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Yes. So a lot of people, we are independents here on the show. I used to be a Republican, and I grew up in a Republican family, and as I was true blue, as Mike knows, I was a card-carrying Republican.
Literally.
But then as I got a little disillusioned, then I thought, well, they're the better of the, you know, of the two parties. And then I got more disillusioned and said, hey, they're just as bad as the Democrats, you know. Both of them are leading us down the same road. It's obvious. We have the yin and the yang, but we're never getting anywhere. And independents often looking for a candidate they could get behind. And he seems to have appealed to the disenfranchised, not only in the Republican Party, but is he part of this system? Or is he really an outsider, somebody who really thinks differently? We've always said this is an elitist game. You have to be rich to run for president, and you have to be accepted by the organization, the establishment. He seems to go against it, and it seems like many Republicans don't like him and call him a nut and a kook. But is he just another level of control to give hope for those who are hoping for somebody independent? You've done some extensive research into his background and found that he is connected to some powerful groups and even secretive societal groups, right?
That's correct. If you look into Ron Paul's background, mm-hmm. He belonged to a Masonic fraternity in college, which he still supports. Actually, this is not just a Masonic fraternity. It's a Rosicrucian fraternity. It has its origins way back in the time of the Rosicrucians and the medieval Knights Templar. And the name of it is Lambda Chi Alpha Fraternity. Ron Paul went to Gettysburg College in Pennsylvania. And where I found this information was on a video that was on YouTube, which didn't last very long there. And it was also in other places on the Internet, but in a very short time, all of these videos vanished. And I did download the video, but I haven't been able to upload it to my website because the content, I don't know what happens to these videos that get censored, but I can't. It says the content is disabled.
Right.
So if anybody knows how to upload this video, it's a terrific video. But the publication of Lambda Chi Alpha Fraternity is called The Cross and the Crescent. Mm-hmm. And the 2006 issue featured an article about the initiation ritual of the fraternity, which was formulated by a 33rd degree master mason and a worshipful master of a Masonic lodge. His name was John Mason. And he was the principal author of the fraternity's ritual. He designed their badge and insignia, which have occult symbols. And he founded the various publications of the order, and the publications have a lot. This publication, Cross and the Crescent, has an awful lot of information in it, especially the one which announced Ron Paul's presidential bid. And so this worshipful master designed the initiation ritual, and the Cross and the Crescent explains that he drew on the traditions of esoteric societies and the mystery cults of Egypt, the Orient, Greece, and Rome. He used the modern books on occultism and theosophy, like those of Madame Blavatsky, Annie Besant, Eliphaz Levy, Rudolf Steiner, A.E. Waite, and books on Masonry. So the whole initiation ritual is based on Freemasonry. And also the Cross and the Crescent explains that the historical founder and patron of the Lambda Chi Alpha fraternity was René d'Anjou, who was the ninth Grand Master of the Priory of Zion. Now, I've done a lot of research on the Priory of Zion. It's linked to the Learned Elders of Zion. In fact, I believe it's the very highest secret society which oversees all other secret societies.
Oh, is that right?
This is, yes. This is what their literature claims. If you read the Zionist and the Masonic literature, they talk about the Priory of Zion, the Da Vinci Code, even divulged who is the next in line of succession to take over the leadership of the Priory of Zion. In fact, he's the Grand Master today. But this René d'Anjou is the patron and historic founder of Ron Paul's Masonic fraternity.
Not good stuff, right, Barbara? What you're saying is this is deep secret societies, and people say, well, so what? But what you're saying, these people are rooted in evil, basically, and manipulative behavior of others. They're very occultic, which means they are not positive people. It's rooted in evil and selfishness, right?
Well, not only that, but they have an agenda to take over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Ron Paul plays a very important part in this, a very destructive part in this agenda. And if you look at his policies, they really do mesh with, if you put the rhetoric aside and look at his voting record and his policies, they really do line up with the policies of the globalists. He wants to put the world or the United States on the gold standard. So does the president of the World Bank. So, there's really, and I go into all of this in this article. If the listeners would go to our homepage, the main article, I've highlighted it at the very top of the homepage. It's called The Synarchy. That's the main article, and there are sections on not only Ron Paul, Barack Obama, it's a long article, several parts. Let's see, there are nine sections, very long sections to the whole article. But synarchy means government by secret societies or by a group of initiates who operate from behind the scenes. It is an analog of theocracy or rule by a priesthood. And this is where the where Ron Paul comes in. I believe he's very high initiate, and he plays a critical role at this time.
Yeah, you know, people who thought he was or think he's different, I've always thought, well, we know that there are these secret societies. We know that there are the very wealthy global elitists, the world bankers, and the Federal Reserve, who he rails against. And basically, these groups decide who is going to get in. And the last time somebody got in as president that they didn't want in, they took him out. We're talking about JFK, who worked against them once he got in. And you don't even get close to getting in and running. And if they did get in, then you know they're one of them, because they would never permit somebody who wasn't going to work their agenda to get in. So the fact that Ron Paul is even running and may even get close, he's one of the top candidates now this year, as far as Republicans go, there's no doubt he's in the top three, indicates that maybe he isn't an outsider, And you have some damning pictures on your website about Ron Paul. There is a particular handshake, and we've come to know this through other people who have been photographed doing this, including George Bush Sr. and George W. with the Masonic handshake, which is a weird handshake where you grasp the fingers and then the thumb is placed in the middle of the back of the hand, right? And there are photos of Ron Paul doing that Masonic handshake.
Yes, and also the satanic symbol, the horned symbol.
Yes.
A lot of political figures give this signal, and Ron Paul has done it many times.
People could say, well, he's from Texas. He's giving the horns for what's the team down there, Mike?
Longhorns.
Longhorns, but yeah. He doesn't strike me as a big sports fan, so.
No.
No. Yeah, this is deep and dark and secret, and I've always thought it would be the dirtiest trick to run somebody to fool those who have woken up, said, okay, I know the Republican Party and the Democratic Party are basically two sides of the same coin, and I'm not going to go for it anymore. I'm going to be independent, and I'm going to find somebody who is thinking differently. And to secretly put in a candidate who says, I'm your guy, and he's really one of them.
Mm-hmm. And he has quite a following.
He does.
Especially among informed people.
Yeah.
People who understand, something about the economy and are looking for a return to sanity in our country.
He's a very intelligent man, certainly. He's a doctor by trade, and it speaks a lot of sense in some regards about these wars, these ridiculous wars over there that are bankrupting the country and just getting us in worse stance with the people in the Middle East. So there's a lot of things you could say, yeah, he's different and he's right. But there are things that disturb me, too. He believes in getting rid of he agreed with Richard Nixon, he said.
Minimum wage.
There you go. That's what I'm looking for. Okay. He agrees with getting rid of the minimum wage, which would basically say people could pay you anything. We could have Chinese-style wages over here. And he's also said, I believe that Richard Nixon did the right thing in opening up trade and with China. And look where that's led us. So there's been some things that are disturbing, he says, but I guess enough things that some people like. But is he really the answer? And I'll say this too, Barbara, I don't think they'll ever allow him to win. He's just there to give hope for those who are looking for hope, right?
Well, I've wondered if his purpose for being there is to throw the election, to divide the conservative vote and throw the election to Barack Obama. I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Yeah.
But just to add to what you were saying, he also promotes the laissez-faire economics of Ludwig von Mises,
mm-hmm.
who collaborated with Otto von Habsburg and Kuhnenhof Caligari to establish the Pan-European Union. So Ron Paul, and he also advocates the establishment of private gold banks, which hold all of the gold, and the masses would have digital gold. So he's for a global currency.
Yeah.
But the banks would hold all of the gold. So when you look at his policies, he really is a globalist. And he also advocates that states should secede from the Union, from the United States. And that is just going to fragment the country and destabilize it. And he's written a book advocating revolution, which, of course, will also destabilize the country.
Yeah, and some of these things people have accused him of being just nutty. But he may be just a smokescreen and someone, as you said, to mislead those. Many of our presidents have been Freemasons in the past, including George Washington was a Freemason, James Monroe, Andrew Jackson, James Polk, James Buchanan, Andrew Johnson, James Garfield, William McKinley, Theodore Roosevelt, William Taft, Warren Harding, Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Truman, Gerald Ford, Daddy Bush, and of course W, and as well as Ronald Reagan was given an honorary membership in a Freemason group. And of course, Barack Obama is a Freemason as well. So, folks, you could see that this group, very secretive group. Now, Barbara, we've been at another station where the sports guy, this guy Jerry, and he was a nice guy, and he said he was a Christian. He said, oh, no, I'm a member of a Mason Lodge, and we're just good, you know, looking to do good, you know, and try to help people. And there's nothing secretive or scary about it. And that's the storefront of the Mason group, right, the local yeah. Mason Lodges. But as you get high up in ranks, and there's all different numerical ranks, you find out, and I've had a Freemason who was a high-ranking one and got out of there and is a Christian now, and it was hard to find that, by the way, somebody who reached those ranks and was willing to come on the air and speak about it. Very difficult, because they're threatened not to talk about their secretive dealings. And he made it clear that this is a very much a cultic religious group who has clandestine designs on this country.
Yes, their initiation rites are based on the ancient Egyptian mystery religion. Cyrus. Yes, they're very, very based in the occult. But it's all very secretive. And, of course, the upper, the hierarchy of Freemasonry is very hidden. And they don't realize that your average Mason does not realize the powers that are controlling the lodges and using them. I have a quote here from Leon de Ponsin's The Secret Powers Behind the Revolution, Freemasonry and Judaism. He wrote, "There is moreover no candidate for the presidency of the great American public who does not court the friendship of this order," speaking of B'nai B'rith. "According to well-informed sources, there is in the B'nai B'rith a superposition of secret societies ending in a single governing power. Above the B'nai B'rith are the B'nai Moshe, then the B'nai Zion, and finally the hidden center of supreme command. I can only mention it without proof." And I believe that is the priory of Zion, which is spoken of in esoteric literature, which your average person does not read.
No, your average American doesn't know anything about this, and they would say, how does that relate to me? It's because, folks, these people don't have your best intentions in mind. No. And they have this very secretive, self-centered intention for their own power grab and control of this country. And it's not a good one. Look where they've led us so far.
And it's only going to get worse.
Yeah. And what it's also disturbing, Barbara, you're a Christian, and Christians should be the most enlightened people because they should know the Word of God. And Jesus said, the truth will set you free. But many are so ignorant in this country and so easily deceived, which is very disturbing. We're seeing that they're supporting a Mormon and rallying behind a Mormon who says Jesus and Satan are brothers, which is, if you read the Bible, is blasphemy. It's just not there. Yet they're getting behind Mitt Romney.
Yes. Well, Jesus said that the end times would be characterized by tremendous deception. And he warned us in the Word you know, in several places, to beware and to take heed and be not deceived. So I believe that was the purpose of Watch Under Prayer, was to expose this deception that is within the Christian community. So much disinformation, so many agents of the secret societies are in the churches, in the community, wolves in sheep's clothing. And, you know, my burden, and I worked with another woman who went to be with the Lord about 3 years ago, and our burden was to expose the deception.
No matter what that leads you to, and sometimes it's scary, isn't it, Barbara, as we do on this program, but you have to embrace reality, and you have to embrace the truth, no matter how dark it may be, and say, hey, I'm not going to go with the flow anymore. Even though if it means I'm standing alone, I'm going to stand up for what I know is true and what is right, and I would hope that would be the heart of most Americans as they're educated. They would wake up to that fact and be willing to take a stand and not just be swept away with the euphoria of my party's going to win, you know, that kind of thing. And just focus
on
putting
our hope in a political party.
Yeah.
You know, not what the Lord wants us to do, or not to trust in princes.
And when it comes down to it, it seems like anybody's willing to sell whatever their beliefs or whatever they feel strongly about for the guy who's going to get the most money in my wallet. That's how they think, you know? Right, Mike?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Americans, you know, even though we still have the best lifestyle in the world, and we're still the number one economy in the world, yes, even above China, the fact that we're hurting a little bit scares us enough that we'll sell anything out just to make sure or think we're getting somebody who's going to help us do better financially.
Even if it's our soul, Jeff.
Yeah.
Even if it's our soul in the process. If that means I can get a few extra bucks, you know, because this guy said he could do it. Well, you know, yeah. I mean, it's like our security. We're willing to trade all of our rights to privacy, our right to, you know, not be, you know, tapped or anything like that. You know, our just basically our common civil rights. We gave those up so we could feel, quote unquote, secure.
Yes.
From an enemy that you know, we created.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, it's frustrating to watch the brainwashing that goes on and the deception, and then you try to talk to people and explain the truth, and they
don't want to be a part of it.
They
look at you like you're the craziest person on the planet.
Or what planet did you come from?
Oh, yeah. You're just nuts. That's just insane talk.
That's conspiracy
Rush
talk.
Rush Limbaugh would never say that. He's a good American, you know. And again, it just like you said, it goes back to the brainwashing. People will allow themselves to be led around on a leash like a dog if it means that they could feel, quote-unquote, safer and more financially stable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, they'd sell their grandmother for a stick of gum if they thought the stick of gum would enlighten their lives.
Well, Barbara, as we come to this election, all we could do is inform people, and hopefully they vote their conscience, even though that may mean voting for somebody you know will never get elected.
Not even so much for their conscience, Jeff. I want more than conscience. I want intelligence. I want people being smart.
Well, that's true. They can vote their conscience, but if they're ill-informed, their conscience are going to mislead them.
Do the research. I mean, folks, I don't know where we went wrong in this country where we thought being fat, lazy, and stupid was a way to get through life. Because we're Americans and we should just feel privileged. We're not. We still have to adhere to the values our forefathers gave us. You got to roll up your sleeves and you got to do the work. Otherwise, you don't get ahead in life.
And not placing your faith in politicians, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Especially the higher up they go, the more they're bought by the system.
The more corrupt they are into the system.
And I think, too, the media is so controlled.
Yes.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely, Barbara. I mean, corporations own them. They were bought, sold, and paid for. They're nothing more but PR outlets for the Department of Defense and the federal government, personally. That's how I see it. I think Jeff can agree with that.
Well, yeah. I mean, you could see that they slant things.
They control everything you read, you see, and hear.
Except the Internet.
It's the last bastion of freedom of speech and where you could get information that is unfiltered.
But sometimes, as Barbara pointed out, as she was researching this information on Ron Paul, and I was as well, I wasn't finding as much as Barbara found it before it disappeared from the Internet, because there is a running discussion on the Internet about Ron Paul and Freemasonry, and there's a lot saying he is not a Freemason, but there you go. We found out tonight he is. He is one of them, folks. If he's trying to claim he's not part of the system, he's lying. And maybe we're misplacing our trust. Even though he may say nuggets of truth here and there and that we could agree with, in the end, he is not one of us. He's one of them. Well, all we could do is watch and pray, right, Barbara?
Exactly. And, put our trust in the Lord and allow him to take care of our material needs and our safety.
As it hits the fan and we realize that we can't trust the people we put into office, where else can you turn? Well, Barbara, thanks for taking time this evening and sharing on the program what you have discovered about Ron Paul, and we will all be watching.
I know I'm illuminated.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity. This has been a burden on my heart. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right, take care.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Bye now.
Thank you, Barbara.
Bye-bye. Okay. Folks, we'll be back with more. There is plenty more to talk about on the Jeff and Mike Show. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jeff and Mike Show.
Why isn't this an awkward moment?
TheJeffAndMikeShow.com.
Hi, this is Governor.